Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, November 30th, 2020. It's going to be an interesting month. December's right around the corner. Bad guys are trying to cancel Christmas already, and why wouldn't they? Because let's just destroy everything that is, you know, remotely American. I know it was Bernays and friends who really sort of instituted Christmas. I know the Bible says what it says. I've done several broadcasts on that. However, the idea of, you know, people getting together for whatever reason to celebrate, you know, the spirit of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I don't know. I don't think that's a bad thing. The Machiavellian intriguers who would seek to subvert that, notwithstanding, you know, theosophy is very ecumenical. And there is Christian theosophy, which, as I have said before, makes me feel like I should wash my mouth out with soap when I say that. Those two terms don't go together. Theosophy, the breakdown of the word translates to divine wisdom, which is, you know, received from the ascended masters. If you follow folks like Helena Blavatsky, which, you know, no one should, but that whole contingent notwithstanding, most people getting together and, you know, celebrating peace on earth, goodwill toward men, drawing down the tension and the chaos and so forth is a good thing. But we are vexed these days by this spirit of chaos. And I do believe it's very much a spiritual battle, first and foremost. Power of persuasion is in full effect, and Charles Baudelaire said it best, the finest trick of the devil is to persuade you that he does not exist, which was rephrased in The Usual Suspects back in 1995. Anyway, so continuing, Howie Carr, jet setting John Kerry, Boston Herald article. So just to sort of a little bit more humor to ease into the week, and then maybe some serious, on a more serious note. So Howie Carr writes, what more can this legend in his own mind ask for? John Kerry, of course. He never got Air Force One, but now he's willing to settle for Gigolo One. What does he mean? What does that mean? Well, he explains. Back in the day when Mama T was still making public appearances, Kerry had his own personal private jet, the Flying Squirrel. That's the actual name, in case anyone doesn't already know that. Actually, the Flying Squirrel was owned, more precisely, by his second wife's first husband's trust, in much the same manner, or in much the same way that he claimed not to own those five SUVs at each of his second wife's first husband trust fund's mansions. Not the family, quote unquote. No, the family owned all of that, and he was just a gigolo. But apparently, once you get used to gallivanting around on one of those Boeing C-32s or a 757 or whatever the SOS is using these days, it's tough to scale back to a mere plebeian corporate jet. I mean, the Flying Squirrel was certainly an upgrade, shall we say, over the DC shuttle when Kerry had to rub elbows with the hoi polloi at Logan and occasionally ask the gate attendants that eternal question, do you know who I am? So now he's got this phony baloney made-up job, climate czar, indeed. How do we know it's make-believe? Because they also sort of put Kerry on the National Security Council to give his role at least a slight patina of gravitas. Can you imagine live shot in any kind of serious discussion about, well, actually about anything serious, but especially something involving, say, national security? I think so. I mean, it goes back to the roots of, you know, the CIA and Skull and Bones connections and so on. But I digress. What does Kerry add to the conversation? Some anecdote about his magic hat and how President Nixon sent him into Cambodia at Christmas 1968 before he was president, in other words. But hey, He was with Biden before they discovered the wonders of Dominion. Capital D. And at age 76, he's one of the young whippersnappers in the putative administration. So they put him in Biden's equivalent of the House of Lords. But Kerry won't be in D.C. all that often, would be my guess, Carr writes. Too many people with bigger planes than his. Too many people with bigger planes than his. No, I suspect that post-January 20, Kerry will be flitting back and forth between those traditional sunny places for shady people, jawboning about this and that. Remember the winter of 2014, he was Secretary of State, jetting from one very important conference on global warming to another, warning of the existential threats, quote-unquote, that were posed to the planet. Boston, meanwhile, was suffering through the coldest, snowiest winter since they started keeping records more than 100 years ago. And because he was so busy yapping globally, Kerry wasn't shoveling locally, and he ended up with a $50 citation from the city of Boston for not shoveling his hydrantless sidewalk on Lewisburg Square. Kerry has always been long on talk, short on actually accomplishing anything. Well, at least, you know, in the context of public service, that is. I mean, it depends on who we're talking about, whose service. And now he's going back to doing what he does best, nothing while living large. As Senator Tom Cotton put it so succinctly in a tweet, John Kerry thrilled at the prospect of returning to his dream job of living in Central European hotels while negotiating deals that are bad for America. Living well is the best revenge, and nothing says living well like your own jet, especially if it's on the arm. First stop for Kerry, a visit to California Governor Newsom, dinner in Napa Valley, at where else? French Laundry. It makes the Chanticleer on Nantucket look like Nathan's governor live shot. We'll say, may I suggest a 2014 bottle of Burgundy Grand Cru Domaine de la Romanée Conti, $9,000, like the big dig governor. This bottle will be a bargain. Then he can tell the governor how he once ran in the Boston Marathon, but he can't remember the year, and how he was actually elected president in 2004, but those damn Diebold voting machines in Ohio, and how he once had a 24-point buck in the crosshairs on the Cape, but couldn't pull the trigger. Vietnam, you know. So now we have John Kerry, climate czar, reporting to duty yet again. Can I get me a Boeing C-32 here? The plane. Howie Carr, a little bit of comic relief on John Kerry. And, you know, I think that's being kind. It's so fascinating to me. Can anybody, any normal, any mere mortal person be subjected to the kind of embarrassment that, well, Biden and Kerry have been subjected to? It's you know, fascinating to me what's happening with all the vote fraud. I mean, this is, I don't know, Candace Owens won the challenge to PolitiFact about, you know, her statement that Biden is not the president-elect yet. The Electoral College is not convened and weighed in yet. Faithless voters might be a thing. Who knows? You know, who knows what's going to happen, but it's set to be an interesting month, and within the next couple of weeks we should see some more fireworks. Not that anyone wants to see that. And then there's the I don't know, the some of the naturally occurring things that are in store, So, you know, there's the winter solstice, and I've talked about the commingling of things in the past. When it comes to Christmas, for example, old, you know, Chris Nimrod Kringle, Santa Claus. So the conjunction of, what is it, Jupiter and Saturn and what's the other one? People have conjectured the three might have been the I don't remember what the other one is, but that's a thing on this year's winter solstice. Supposed to be anyway, the three planets. I forget. It's Jupiter, Saturn, and what's the other one? I don't know. Maybe it'll come to me. But, you know, that's sure to add fireworks because, you know, druidic ritual folks who practice, you know, ancient mystery religions and Jewish mysticism, Kabbalah, Zohar, etc., they seem to really get into all that kind of stuff. So when we have these kinds of events, you know, and this one's supposed to be something that, what, we haven't seen in 800 years or something. Here are a couple of articles. When is the shortest day of the year? Winter solstice date, meaning how it's celebrated. No, not that one. Reader's Digest, what the 2020 winter solstice means for your zodiac. Oh, there we go. No, that's not it. Not that. Oprah has an article, naturally. Oprah Mag. There we go. Mental floss. Don't miss Saturn and Jupiter's great conjunction on the winter solstice. In 2020, sky gazers were treated to meteor showers, a new comet, and Halloween blue moon. One of the last major astronomical events of the year is set to fall on the night of the winter solstice, December 21. Look up and catch Saturn in conjunction with Jupiter. So that's more along the lines of what I was looking for, but. You know, historically, old school druidic bad guys seem to, you know, especially the earth worshippers, they seem to really find some kind of secret hidden power in these kinds of things. So there's another one, ABC 15. Saturn-Jupiter conjunction to occur at the winter solstice. Once every 20 years, Jupiter and Saturn nearly cross paths in the sky. And this year, the two largest planets in the solar system will cross paths during the winter solstice. According to Earth's sky, the two planets will be just 0.1 degree apart at their closest point on December 21st. Being so close, the two planets will appear to be roughly the same size as one-fifth a full moon. According to Earth's sky, the December 2020 conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn is the closest the two planets have been to each other in the night sky since 1623. That's kind of where I was. The two planets will appear in the early evening sky for the rest of the year. Jupiter will be the brightest object in the western sky for the rest of the year. So there you go. And then the link to the Earth sky post before the end of 2020, great conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn. So that kind of stuff, that's what I'm talking about. Bad guys seem to find esoteric meaning and power in these kinds of things. So, based on, you know, the strange things that are happening and supposed to happen, I can only imagine how bad guys would want to, you know, celebrate with ringing in the new age, the Novus Ordo Seclorum with these kinds of things. Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, John Kerry, etc. So back to John Kerry for a second. In the article that I wrote, I included, as I said earlier, that article that Lisa Katz wrote January of 2019. Is John Kerry Jewish or Catholic? And she's really asking the question. The on-page title reads John Kerry's religious background, and she gives, a fair treatment to the subject. The former Secretary of State, John Forbes Kerry, hails from Massachusetts, and so a sycophant to power, really. Anyway, she writes, a state that contains America's largest Irish Catholic population. As a practicing Catholic himself, even the best friends of Kerry have considered him an American Irish Catholic through and through. The discovery of John Kerry's European Jewish roots has surprised many, including the Secretary of State himself. To understand where these roots began, let's go back to the early 19th century in southern Moravia. Benedict Cohn, Kerry's great-grandfather. Benedict Cohn, the great-grandfather of Kerry, was born around 1824 in southern Moravia and grew up to become a successful master beer brewer. In 1868, after the death of his wife, Benedict moved to Benish, which today is called Horny Benisov, and married Matilde Frankel Cohn. Benedict and Matilde Cohn were two of the 27 Jews living in Benish, and which is listed as having a total population of 4,200 in 1880. Soon after, Benedict died in 1876, and Matilde moved to Vienna with her children, Ida, who was 7, Friedrich Fritz, and a three-year-old, and newborn Otto. Fritz Cohn / Fred Kerry, Kerry's grandfather. Fritz and Otto excelled in their studies in Vienna. However, like other Jews, they suffered greatly from the anti-Semitism that prevailed in Europe during their time. As a result, both Cohn brothers abandoned their Jewish heritage and converted to Roman Catholicism. Additionally, in 1897, Otto decided to shed the Jewish-sounding name of Cohn. He chose a new name by dropping a pencil on a map. That's the way the story always goes. You got to get the explainer so it's believable. Pencil landed on Ireland's County Kerry. In 1901, Fritz followed his brother's example and officially changed his name to Frederick Kerry. Fred, who worked as an accountant at his uncle's... See, how does the explainer... how do you get the explainer and then the family, you hear John Kerry is surprised. It's kind of absurd. So Fred, who worked as an accountant, in other words, it's not true. That's what I'm saying. It's not a surprise. Anyway, I'll finish that explainer when we come back. Stick around, more after this break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an engine cleaner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
It's ironic. Is Ocasio-Cortez playing cat and mouse or something with the Rahm Emanuel nonsense? Progressive saying Emanuel's a bad guy. Yeah, he is. But you know, Rahm Opportunities of Crisis Emanuel is just your guy if you want to seize power, comrades. Right? You have a crisis, whether real or imagined, intended, unintended, whether you know. Lie hop, high hop, or my hop. Hey, you know what? Never let a serious crisis go to waste. So, John Kerry and his Jewish background, and I say this only because this next part, especially, you know, it's not you know, the Orthodox Jewish community that is of particular concern to me. Not at all, actually. Respect those folks, but it's this mystery religion stuff where we start to get into trouble and commingling the two, you know. Zionism, or what I would generally categorize as political Zionism, is not the same thing as Orthodox Judaism by any stretch of the imagination, other than sophistry. So, you know, when we start to conflate those, that's when we run into problems. And this next bit, I think, is telling. Maybe we should play the introduction to the late, great Jack Otto's talk to sort of give this some context. I don't know. That last talk that he gave. I've played it several times on this broadcast. And, you know, it reminds me of what Bill Cooper said. We play that from time to time, too. It's this old mystery religion stuff, you know. So, to continue here, Lisa Katz writes, Fritz Cohn, Fred Carey, Carey's grandfather. So in 1897, Otto decided to shed the Jewish-sounding name. Fritz followed suit, changed his name to Frederick Carey. Fred, who worked as an accountant at his uncle's shoe factory, married Ida Lowe, a Jewish musician from Budapest. I think this is where we start to get into trouble commingling terms. But this explainer helps to, you know, sort things out. Ida was a descendant of Sine Lowe, a brother of Rabbi Judah Lowe, the famous Kabbalist, philosopher, and Talmudist known as the Maharal of Prague. So I think there's the explainer, you know, who some say invented the character of the golem. Two of Ida's siblings, Otto Lowe and Jenny Lowe, were killed in Nazi concentration camps. So just that little bit, you know, Jewish musician in Budapest. Ida was a descendant of Sine Lowe, brother of Rabbi Judah Lowe, the famous Kabbalist and philosopher and Talmudist known as the Maharal of Prague, who some say invented the character of the golem. So this is, you know, these are the family roots. This is family roots, Carey family roots, not too long ago. So Fred, Ida, and their first son, Eric, were all baptized as Catholics. But, you know, again, back to Jack Otto's explainer. I think it's insightful and informative. Sure, you can do this. You know, when you're an intriguer, you can operate by whatever cover. In 1905, and that's just speculation, that's conjecture on my part, but it seems to fit with, you know, the character, the Carey sort of character, or lack thereof. In 1905, the young family immigrated to America after entering through Ellis Island. The family first lived in Chicago and then settled in Boston. Fred and Ida had two more children in America, Mildred in 1910 and Richard in 1915. Fred, Ida, and their three children lived in Brookline, where Fred became a prominent man in the shoe business and regularly attended Sunday Catholic church services. Fred did not tell anyone, and no one would have guessed that his family had Jewish roots. At least that's the way the story goes. In 1921, Fred Carey, at age 48, entered a Boston hotel and shot himself in the head. Some say the suicide was due to financial stress or depression. Perhaps the transition from Czech Jew to American Catholic was too great and unsupported as a spiritual, psychological, and social change. Richard Carey, Carey's father. Richard was six when his father committed suicide. It has been said that he dealt with the tragedy by ignoring it. And I'll finish this explainer on John Carey when we come back. Stick around, more after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Bottom of the second hour already of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, November 30th, 2020. The explainer on Kerry and then to Jack Otto and then something on a little more serious note. New York Times article. There are a lot of things. You know, as I was reviewing, I'll come back to this, but the Clade X players, speaking of Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, tabletop exercises, you know, foreshadowing a pandemic. Clade X. Clade is an interesting word. Why do they choose these things? You know, it's like they enjoy, you know, doing these things. And you start looking at these folks. John Bellinger is listed as, you know, partner Arnold and Porter, one of the premier law firms in the country. He's also Wilmer Hale. Jamie Gorelick is listed as a partner, Wilmer Hale. You know, and it's kind of a who's who. Jim Talent, Margaret Hamburg, Tara O'Toole, who is, you know, she's floating around in Event 201, and she's also, you know, you hear her on the Squawk Box from time to time. She's in Qtel. Why do we, in, you know, Jeffrey Smith, former CIA general counsel, Tom Daschle, Daschle Group, lobbying and, you know, secret kind of stuff too. Julie Gerberding is just a wonderful human being. She's awesome. She's also in there. That's something that I'll come back to, all that stuff. But this New York Times article, small gatherings spread the virus, but are they causing the surge? It's actually a real interesting New York Times article, and if people sit down and read it, you kind of go, okay, well, if this is true, this information seems to kind of, you know, split the gamut right down the middle, and then we can't really discern much of anything with absolute certainty based on this, which even the article kind of says more than once. You know, if that's the case, then what are we doing here? And now we're getting more locked down. But you knew this was coming. I knew this was coming. We talked about this at the beginning of the year, right? Especially when things started to get crazy on March, you know, Friday the 13th, Bill Gates steps down from the board of Microsoft and Berkshire Hathaway to round out the mass exodus from corporate America, you know, the C-level folks jumping ship by the hundreds after, you know, between Friday the 13th, March, and after Event 201, the mass exodus that folks like Grace talked about, really graceful. She did a good, James Corbett did good coverage on that. A lot of folks noticed that it was awfully strange. Hundreds. Which kind of reminds you of, I don't know, 9/11? Foreknowledge? You know, some people actually got in trouble. Well, it's not like, you know, it was insider trading because it wasn't me placing the trades. It was my husband or my wife or, well, that's totally different. So, congressman, we, you know. So anyway, John Kerry, Richard Kerry, Kerry's father was six when his father committed suicide. It's been said that he dealt with the tragedy by ignoring it. Richard attended Phillips Academy, Yale University, and Harvard Law School. After serving in the U.S. Army Air Corps, he worked in the Department of State and later Foreign Service. Married Rosemary Forbes. So you have to wonder, you know, how does a family show up on the shores at Ellis Island, and then, you know, marrying into dynastic families, serving in the State Department. That's, you know, sure. I mean, it's the American dream. We can all do it. Yeah, maybe there's more to the story. Richard and Rosemary had four children. Marjorie in 1941, John in 1943, Diana in 1947, and Cameron in 1950. John, formerly a Massachusetts senator, was the 2004 Democratic nominee for president. Cameron, who married a Jewish woman and converted to Judaism in 1983, is a prominent Boston lawyer. There's a lot of this stuff going on, which again reminds me of Jack Otto and the intrigue, you know, from of a bygone era. So anyway, just to finish this, conclude this, John Forbes Kerry, in 1997, Secretary of State Madeleine Albright learned three of her four grandparents were Jewish. Then Wesley Clark announced that his father was Jewish. And then a researcher discovered that John Kerry is really John Cohn. What does it mean if John Kerry is Jewish family roots? If the discovery had been made in Europe in the 1940s, Kerry would have been sent to a Nazi concentration camp. The discovery had been made in America in the 1950s, Kerry's political career would have been negatively affected. Today, however, the discovery of Kerry's Jewish roots are seemingly inconsequential and did not affect his failed 2004 presidential bid. The story of John Kerry's Jewish past is of interest because it reflects the story of many European Jews who shed their Jewish heritage and root to America at the turn of the century. The story makes one wonder how many Americans today have Jewish roots of which they are unaware. It's not, again, to conflate things, you know, Orthodox Judaism is not the, you know, Jewish mysticism of Kabbalah and Zohar, etc. It's, well, you know, usually when I have this conversation, you know, it kind of rests somewhere around Alison Weir talking about Dorothy Thompson, who was, you know, the most considered at the time, the regarded as, you know, the first lady of American journalism, was the second most influential woman in America, second to Eleanor Roosevelt. That was according to Time magazine in 1939. And then she takes a little trip and, you know, in 1941, Thompson wrote Who Goes Nazi for Harper's Magazine. And, you know, keynote speaker at the Biltmore Conference, regarded as one of the most effective spokespersons for Zionism. Then she goes to Palestine in 1945. And as the story goes, ran into difficulties, including accusations of anti-Semitism. She went and saw for herself, like Alison Weir. You know, she's hearing all this stuff. And then Alison Weir has done her coverage, you know, from time to time, where she says, look, I came from this media background and I did an analysis of the stories. You're only getting, well, you're getting a psyop in the press. And Alison Weir has talked about how certain publications were bought up along the way and certain stories were scrubbed, like Dorothy Thompson's story. Alison Weir, you know, tells that story pretty well. So, as the story goes, Dorothy Thompson goes to Palestine. Before that, she is a very outspoken activist for Zionism, you know, pro-Zionist spokesperson. Then she goes to Palestine. She comes back. She's, you know, has a completely different view. She's rebuffed after being warned that, you know, hostility toward Israel, so-called, in the American press world, is almost a definition of professional suicide. Why? She eventually concluded that Zionism was a recipe for perpetual war. There you go. And so, you know, from there, I mean, I guess you go to Chris Bolin, Menachem Begin, bragging to Russell Warren Howe back in January 1974, when he, you know, was asked by Howe, how does it feel in light of all that's going on to be the father of terrorism in the Middle East? And Begin boasted, in the Middle East, you know, in all the world. So he's bragging, you know, they are the terrorists of the whole world. But this is not Orthodox Judaism, you know. So, not to get too far down this rabbit hole, revisionist Zionism is kind of, I guess, where we end up, you know, with the continuation of the terrorism and the terrorist network and David Ben-Gurion, Chaim Weizmann, the Netanyahu family, you know. The WZO, the NZO, what some people have categorized as the Zog historically, Theodore Herzl, it all sort of converges. Menachem Begin, they all sort of converge around revisionist Zionism these days, which really doesn't have a whole lot of time for, you know, organized religion other than as a cover for terrorism. So, I mean, that's the short version. That's where I usually end up, somewhere centered around there. But without further ado, that's a discussion for later. For now, I want to go back to the late, great Jack Otto telling this story of intriguers and their intrigue centuries old, but I think it still continues. So if we're ready with that, can we do that for a second?
Well, without any further ado, I would like to introduce our first speaker tonight. He is also a radio show host, and I'll let him give you the details on that. And so here you have it, Mr. Jack Otto.
Thank you, friends. 65 years ago today, God Almighty put me on this earth, and I believe it's to fight against this new world order.
Thank you, and happy birthday.
Thank you. We are being cornered like cattle into a pen, squeezed down, and we're never really going to be free people unless we're brave. Because this was only the land of the free as long as it was the home of the brave. And this started a long time ago with people that go back to the fourth century. Let me tell you about the flight of the Khazar warriors out of northern Turkey in 500 AD. They were a despicable bunch. You could go to the king of the Khazars and rent an army from him, an army of 40 or 50,000 men. But it didn't matter what kind of a deal you struck with their monarch. He wasn't called a king. He was called a shagan. Once the battle was done, they rape and pillage. Doesn't matter what kind of agreement you had with the king. That's the way it ended up. And so as a consequence, people in the area garnered a great deal of animosity for these Khazar warriors. And in 500 AD, they were driven out. And as they came down south out of Turkey, some fled to the west into Romania and Hungary and became the Gypsies. The rest followed their monarch, the Chagan, up into the steppes of Russia and north of there to the Caucasus Mountains. And as they settled in there, they quite easily enslaved the relatively peaceful agrarian Slavic folks that were indigenous to the area. Then they came under pressure to take sides in a growing contention around them. Coming down from the north was Eastern Orthodox Christianity, and coming up from the south was Islam. And they knew that if they succumbed to pressure from either of those to join their organization and embrace their philosophy, it would surely offend the other. And so what they did was a politically expedient maneuver. He called in all the religious leaders of the area, and he got their input. And after the input, he announced, "For me and my people," and we're talking about 20 million people and about 4,000 nobility, "for me and my people, we choose to become Jews." Now, this was not a heartfelt conversion. This was not something that was deep in their breasts that they felt they needed to make a conversion because they thought that was the proper way to serve the Creator. This was something that was done as a political expediency. And in the course of studying about their new religion, and you do have to study it, even if you're only going to charade, it is absolutely necessary to study about it so that you can fake it. And in the course of doing so, they came across a character with whom they could truly identify. It was Lucifer, the morning light that fell from grace and became Satan, the adversary. And they formed an inner circle within Judaism dedicated to the forces of evil. Let's define terms. What is a Jew? If you look back in your Old Testament, your Bible, there was 12 Hebrew tribes. The 10 northern tribes were called the House of Israel. The 2 southern tribes were called Benjamin and Judah, more properly pronounced Judah, because we didn't get the harder sound to the J until about 200 years ago. So this
All right, we're headed into a break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. All right, we're going to conclude that Jack Otto piece. We're going to cut it short. There's a lot more. I encourage you to listen to it if you haven't heard it, or revisit it if you have. But here is the little bit, backing up just a smidge to get it all in the context. About a minute more of that. Go ahead, please.
Defined terms. What is a Jew? If you look back in your Old Testament, your Bible, there was 12 Hebrew tribes. The 10 northern tribes were called the House of Israel. The 2 southern tribes were called Benjamin and Judah. More properly pronounced, Judah. Because we didn't get the harder sound to the J until about 200 years ago. So this is what I would call real Jews. People from the tribe of Judah. And when we start talking about the New World Order, we are not talking about these people at all. We're talking about these Khazar warriors that only pretended to embrace Judaism. And so today, we find that about 92% of the people who claim to be Jews really aren't. They don't have a drop of Semitic blood in their veins. They are Khazar warriors with a new bent on life and a goal to conquer, to rape, and to pillage. And that philosophy has come down over time, and we see how effectively they have implemented it throughout history.
All right, we're gonna cut it off there. But when that's the late great Jack Otto, and you know, this is one of those stories you're not supposed to know, and it's been discredited, and it ties back to things like Hyslop's Two Babylons, and on and on. This is just one of those stories, but you can find the thread of it. Even on Wikipedia, it's real interesting. When I look at certain Wikipedia entries, you can find the thread, but you're not supposed to believe it. So, you know, getting back to John Kerry's family and, you know, Rabbi Judah Lowe, the Maharal of Prague, Chabad Lubavitch, is even interested in these kinds of characters, you know. Among the most famous Talmudists of their age, you know, includes Rabbi Judah Lowe. So this, to me, you know, the strange anomalies of the Kerry family sort of lend themselves to this story. And I, you know, this is conjectural on my part, but this anecdotal evidence seems to point to smoke, and whether smoke typically with these kinds of things, there's fire, people covering these things up for obvious reasons. We don't want you to know that we're coming to conquer, so we're going to change our name and pretend to be somebody else, and then at the right moment we're going to boast about the fact that we've infiltrated and conquered you. So that's just, again, that's conjectural on my part, but John Kerry operates kind of like that, doesn't he? I mean, he's a very, I think he's a sleaze personally, but, and, you know, appropriate, I suppose, for the Biden cabinet. We'll see. We'll see how all that sorts out. And I think the best thing that we can do for those who are inclined to is to pray. You know, a lot more prayer is definitely in order. So that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.